This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
It has been revealed on many of the episodes of this very podcast, Solo Travel Talk, that your solo travel advisor, Astrid Clements' superpower is selecting hotels. On her recent trip to France, this superpower was on display. The Hotel Raphael is a gem in the 16th arrondissement, the picture of elegance and tradition. Touting perhaps the best rooftop terrace in Paris, the Hotel Raphael is a must. Stay tuned, dear podcast listeners. Astrid will profile this hotel and give you tips for finding this kind of gem on your own travels. Astrid, remind listeners about the detective work that you did to discover this hotel. There's a bit of a story here for the fifth-generation family-owned hotel.
Well, I think probably in a prior life I was a detective because I love to do research and I love to seek out and solve problems and find cool things and all kinds of stuff. I mean, I have an inquiring mind that wears me out. But whenever I start searching for what I call that it hotel, because I'm always looking for the it hotel in whatever place or wherever I'm traveling to, I do start out on a very practical note of price. How much cost per night am I willing to spend? That's a limiting factor.
Bottom line.
Yeah, for most travelers. Because what I do before every trip is I actually do a trip budget. I know how much totally I can spend. And from that, I break down the hard costs like the flight and the hotel room. So the hotel cost per night is a big factor on how much I have left over to spend while I'm at the place. So for this particular Paris trip, I decided that I wanted to stay between the 325 and the 375 range. Because in Paris, oh my gosh, they have a lot of hotels. And they're very expensive for the most part. Even the less star rating, it's hard to find that special hotel that's reasonably priced, okay? So the second key factor that I always look for is location. That is so important. And many people don't think about this enough when they book where their hotel is, because even if it's kind of in another neighborhood that you're not familiar with, say in London, it can be a bad thing. Number one, it's too far away to walk to anything, so you have to take the metro for everything. But bottom line, you want your hotel to be near the things that you want to do. And because of that, when you do that, you'll save time and money because you can walk to what you want to see and do, and you don't have to rely on the metro or whatever. So a favorably priced hotel in the wrong or bad location, I consider a real trip downer. And I've done it before. When I wasn't as experienced in booking hotels, I would think, oh, this is such a beautiful hotel. Oh, it's not that far away. Oh, don't think that. You have to think of location and you want to be close to the things you want to do, and especially be able to walk. Because if you don't, you're going to get in taxis and you're going to have taxi rides, and now traffic is bad almost everywhere in the world in big cities, period. I mean, it's just becoming a phenomenon that you can't run away from. Yeah. Then you have to get on mass transit. Some people don't like it. I'm not a big fan of it. I'll do it, but I don't like it. It's just, ugh. I don't like going under those tunnels and all those people in there. So I try not to do it, but if I have to, I will. And again, sometimes in these areas where the hotel is really nice, the neighborhood is deteriorated or it's unsafe. So you won't want to go out at night. Once you get to your hotel, you'll be stuck in there. Or the area is basically dead. And that happens sometimes. There are places like in Rome or whatever, there's some really nice boutique hotels, but they're kind of out and the area is dead. When you're traveling solo, you want to be around where the action is, and you can decide whether you want to take part or not. So for my last trip to Paris, I knew I wanted to stay in the 16th arrondissement. This is where the old money and really kind of the, I guess you would say, the aristocrats of Paris still live, work, and play. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous area of Paris. Lots of parks, fine restaurants, shopping, what I call the real Paris, because this area is not overrun by tourists. But what's so wonderful about it, it really still is close to the main tourist sites. You can walk to pretty much everywhere you want to from a lot of the areas in the 16th arrondissement. But people don't think about this because most they go in the 6th, the 7th, the 8th, or the 1st. Because it's closer to, say, like the Louvre or Champs-Élysées. But where my hotel was very close to the Champs-Élysées, 5-minute walk. Okay, after the location, which is very important, is the hotel rating. I'm talking about the star rating. I've been traveling a lot. I guess I'm spoiled. But I consistently try to always stay in 5-star hotels that are affordable, which really is the mission. I have a website called Astrid Solo Travel Advisor, which I focus on affordable luxury ideas, products, and services for the solo traveler. So I'm always looking for these hotels that are 5-star that are affordable. So as you can imagine, 5-star hotels in the 16th are pricey. Yeah. But at the time I was looking and the time I traveled, it wasn't totally the off season, but was at the end of the shoulder season. They were averaging about $600 a night. They range anywhere, to tell you the truth, between $325 to $975, and that depends on the season. And in the 16th, there's 7 5-star hotels, and they all vie for that elite traveler. But most I found are housed, and they're large. They're housed in classic French buildings that have been updated with kind of modern interiors, which I always consider to be kind of off, even though they're beautiful. They're owned by wealthy foreigners or big hotel conglomerates. So those kinds of hotels, I've stayed in them many times in my life. There's nothing wrong with them. But I don't like them nearly as much as the hotels that just have that essence, that specialness about them. So when I was looking, I keyed in on the Hotel Raphael because first its price was $345 a night, and it was located 2 blocks from the Arc de Triomphe and 5-minute walk from the Champs-Élysées. So I said, well, let me dig down to see if this is something that I would be interested in. And like I said before, just a minute ago, I like to look at the character of a hotel. That is so important to me, the authenticity. I'm actually dogged about staying in hotels that have that special something that I consider reflect the true culture where I'm visiting. Because there are a lot of beautiful hotels, a lot of modern hotels, a lot of older hotels that have been updated. And they lose that essence of how they were originally conceived and the place, and some of them are quite wonderful. And lots of people like that. But I'm one of these people, I want the real thing, okay? And to me, there's nothing worse than staying in an expensive 5-star hotel that's too corporate, too decorated, and it ultimately has a cold feel. I don't like that. And when I was reading about the Hotel Raphael, well, it described it as tremendously traditional with timeless elegance and modern conveniences. And there's a website that I always go to. This is one I look for good hotels a lot, is the Leading Hotels of the World collection, because they have big hotels and boutique hotels. But this is how it describe the Hotel Raphael. This is going to be a little heady or a little long, but it does give you a pretty good description. And this is how the hook got further into my stomach. It said, the hotel is offering quintessential French luxury housed in a 7-story Parisian palace. Full of fascinating history, the Raphael has hosted many distinguished guests and celebrities since 1925, and today still is privately owned and run by the same French family over 5 generations. And I was thinking, this sounds good. Kind of sounds something like I've experienced before. Like I said, the hook was getting deeper. It goes on to say, the hotel fosters a serene, home-like vibe thanks to its intimate size and discreet service for discerning travelers. Unique and timeless, each spacious, lavishly furnished room or suite has its own classic French decor, featuring rich silk, tasteful antiques, large armoires, and damask wallpaper. And I thought, wow, that was my first reaction when I read this. I said, this is Parisian authenticity for sure, maybe to the max. It really piqued my interest because this is a good website, and they're not going to explain or describe this hotel if that is not correct, okay? Sometimes you get flowery descriptions that don't turn out exactly right, but the hook was further in. Okay, the next step that I always use when I'm doing my detective work, scouring all these websites that I cross-reference information on my target hotel, I looked at photos, prices, amenities, and all the reviews I could read about the Hotel Raphael. Some of the sites I like is Jet Setter, of course, Booking.com and Expedia. I always look at those, Hotel.com, TripAdvisor for the reviews. And a lot of times TripAdvisor can actually come in lower on price per night for a hotel. It's amazing. Oyster is a very good site because they go in with their, it's like the secret shopper, but they're the secret reviewer. And they go in and they stay in these hotels and they take the photographs. And it's very good because they're rough. Because, man, they'll say, oh, God, in room 202, the carpet is, or, you know, they're tough. Also, Relais and Chateau, I still look through them. And, of course, the leading hotels of the world. Those are real good because they all have a different kind of feel and perspective. So before I do that, then, I do scour the Target Hotel's website. So I look at all their detailed information and cross-reference it to all these other sites. See, it takes me a while because I'm really trying to find that diamond in the rough to see if there's any inconsistencies or really potential red flags that they're not going to show you the bad parts. Well, I want to kind of see what's not right and why is this so good, a good location at this price and that kind of thing. And last, I look at the YouTube videos, my secret weapon, as Catherine says. But I look at videos, whether they're videos that are done by the hotel for advertising or personal traveler videos, because there are a lot of them out there. And they'll show, oh, this room was gorgeous, and you'll see it. And you can really get much more of a feel of the space and whether you like it or not, whether it's in the restaurant or the room, etc. And so Hotel Raphael, it really did score high at all of the sites. So I said, okay, well, don't be doubting Thomas. I mean, just keep looking, keep digging. Of course, I went through all the amenities to see if they have the ones I really like, which they had a 24-hour concierge service with Gold Key Concierge, which is part of the Le Clef's Door. This is the creme de la creme of the concierges around the world. It's very hard to become one. And they throw a lot of weight wherever they are. I mean, if there's a restaurant you can't get into, a lot of times they can get you into it. It's amazing. But this hotel has the Gold Key Concierge. I always look for comfortable lounges because I'm the type of person that I like to have a glass of wine at night. I don't want to do it in my room, but I don't want to do it in a place where I feel weird. So it's important that me as a solo travel woman would feel comfortable sitting to myself having a glass of wine. Also, I like the in-room mini bars, of course, safes. Bathrooms are important to me with tubs. Some people aren't, but that's important to me. I love luxury linens and the robes and the slippers. All those things that when you get to your room and you take that nightly bath and you put that on, you're just going, oh, this is the life. And balconies. I'm always seeing if they have a balcony because I'm the type of person that I like to be inside and outside. And there's nothing nicer than to have a cup of coffee on your balcony in the morning. Or when I stayed at the Hotel Raphael, it had beautiful French doors leading out to my balcony. And I opened them at night. So I had that nice breeze coming in, and it was nice. All I can say is this hotel, woo, I loved it. And of course, I looked for free Wi-Fi because it's not universal all around, especially in some of the larger chains. They charge you. But free Wi-Fi, that's always good. So Hotel Raphael scored 100% in all my amenities category. Okay. And then extremely appealing, or what I have here, highly appealing, were the extra large. And I mean, in Paris, hotel rooms are so small, they're unbelievable. You almost think you're in Hong Kong. They are small. These were extra large, and the photos, the interiors were gorgeous. I mean, I couldn't believe it. These looked like old Parisian before World War II and after World War II, beautiful apartments that you'd see in the movies. And it said no two rooms are decorated the same. Huh. So how do you like that for authenticity? So I knew this hotel was special. There are very few hotels in this world that don't have a certain type of room all decorated with the same fabric, all the same furniture, blah, blah, blah. No, this is all different. I mean, it's beyond belief, to tell you the truth. So the green lights were flashing. Okay, get your credit card out, book this hotel. But I decided, well, I'm going to do just a little more skullduggery on the history of the hotel. Because, you know, leading hotels said it was a place for celebrities and blah, blah, blah in the past and still now. So I wanted to see what was going on at this hotel and the same French family that you talked about. So I was curious about that French family who had owned this hotel for five generations, because in 2017, when I went to Paris, I stayed in another very special hotel. This one was in the first arrondissement, and it was across from the Louvre, and it was owned and operated by a French family for five generations, and this hotel was the Hotel Regina. And I mean, I absolutely love the Hotel Regina, and I would have stayed there again on this last trip, but I wanted to stay in the 16th arrondissement. Well, after I started reading it, you can guess it. It was both the Hotel Regina and the Hotel Raphael were owned by and operated by the Bavarez family. That same family who have owned both of these hotels since 1925. They built them and they've had them. I mean, it floored me, first of all, that every hotel in Paris that I'd land on one of the three hotels that they owned. That's kind of weird. But
that's like there are no coincidences. I love that you just honed in.
No, it was amazing. I mean, it is amazing. So obviously, that was all I needed to. I booked with no hesitation because I knew I'd found another gem, because that Hotel Regina was a gem. Plus, the Hotel Raphael was at the right price in the right location, just like Hotel Regina. Hotel Regina was priced at this same price. So I was so happy, pulled out that card, and I couldn't wait to get to Paris.
Listeners, when I go and I do research for the episodes, so of course I went to the Hotel Raphael website, and instantly I was like swept away at their website, just the pictures. So I want to hear about what was it actually like there. Tell us about the hotel, and especially the suites. I want to hear about that suite.
Okay, well, this is how I always approach everything. I'm kind of like a child. I can't wait to go. I can't wait to see. But will this really be good? Will this be wonderful? My home away from home. And I always have a little tad of apprehension about older hotels. I'm thinking, well, maybe I'm just too excited. What happens if it has a musty smell? How have they really maintained it? Is it up to high standards? Because there's nothing worse than you go to a hotel and there's nicks on the furniture or burnt marks and the fabric is like, God, they should have replaced it 5 years ago. It's not ripped, but it's very close and that kind of thing. I mean, that just all of a sudden, it just kind of makes me sad. And will it be super clean? Because that's very important. And that's one thing about the bigger hotels that are five-star, they are all super clean. And that makes a lot of difference on how you can relax and how comfortable you can be. And really, will it live up to its advertised photos, etc.? So my first impression of the Hotel Raphael when I entered the hotel was, oh, yes, this is the real deal. And this is warm, refined, timeless Paris. It wasn't one of those cold hotels you walked in. It was warm. And like it said, it's not huge, but it's elegant. The rooms are huge. But the entrance and the first floor of the hotel, well, what you do is you come in, you kind of go up some stairs. It's this gorgeous, large, grand hall that's basically like a room, a sitting area. Black and white marble on the floor. The walls are paneled in a dark oak paneling, and they have these Corinthian oak columns that frame this room. Beautiful antique furniture that's covered with kind of a velour-looking or a velvet-like damask fabric. Chinese vases on antique side tables, etc. These gorgeous Renaissance oil paintings, which is supposedly part of the family's collection. And they also have a Turner. I mean, I have no idea how much that painting is worth. And it's right there in the lobby. It's amazing. Then at the end of this hall, you've got a very small, petite, antique desk and chair where you check in. You don't check in at a reception desk. You sit down and you check in a very elegant way. And that happens in certain really nice hotels around the world. And whenever I get that experience, I go, oh, yeah, this is high cotton here. This is nice. But all for this grand hall, a little bit more about the first floor of the hotel, is the restaurant. And you enter the restaurant and you have to go through, and they have them tied back when the restaurant's not open. These gorgeous drapes. This fabric is like out of this world, and it's pulled back. You go in, you see this gorgeous 19th century serving cart and these other silver-plated serving pieces throughout the dining room and this, and you're going, oh, yeah. But it's amazing. The dining room is got an upscale feel, but it's not stiff at all. Once I checked in, I wanted to eat something after that long flight, and I was in there having lunch, and there were two sports. They looked like two athletes, but they were in their jumpsuits or their track suits. They came in there, and they were comfortable. So it is very nice. It has like linen tablecloths. You get the big French napkins, and they set the table. I love this. And every time I see this, I think, when I'm coming home, I'm going to start doing this. They set the silverware upside down. Like the fork is not up, it's turned upside down, and the spoons and everything. Yes, they do that. I think that's just so. Because the French, if you watch them, a lot of them will eat with the food on the backside of the fork. Mm. Yeah, that's when they're really, oh la la. They have gone through etiquette class since they were for sure.
Play 16th on these
moments. Yeah, exactly. Catherine, I thought, okay, I'm in Paris. So that's the dining room. And then you can walk either an adjoining door or off the big hall. It's called Le 17th, which I don't know what that means. But it can be part of the restaurant, but it's more like a long time ago, it was a woman's sitting room because the bar is adjoining to it. And this room, it is painted the most beautiful color blue I have ever seen. It's a medium blue. I can't describe it. It is kind of a French blue, but it is something else. And they have these very small gold detail in the woodwork everywhere. It's just exquisite. And they also have the painted oil paintings over the doors, and they have these huge, looks like Renaissance oak doors that lead into the bar. Well, the furniture is antique settees and chairs in red velvet, and they have an oriental rug on the wood floor. This room is like, oh my God. If you like French, real French interiors that are warm, that are elegant, that are comfortable, that are very refined, this room had it going on. And with those oil paintings too, they had some more on the walls. To have a glass of wine there or afternoon tea or just a cup of tea. To me, it's good as it gets because it's not over the top and it's just right. Then you have the bar, and it's called the English Bar. Well, the bar is beautiful too, all wood paneling. And they have all these different chairs and settees. They're all antique, and they're from different periods. Mm. They're all covered in that dark red velvet upholstery. I mean, it is ooh la la. And it's not tacky. It's so beautiful. And what's so wonderful, this bar is small, and it's a place where locals like to come. It's supposedly bankers, diplomats, lawyers come in there, and they have the afternoon aperitif all the time. So when you see the locals coming into a hotel bar, you know this is a good bar and has a great bartender, of which it did. And he's super with craft cocktails. They've got their signature Raphael cocktail, which is champagne and, oh, let's see. I think I wrote down what it was because it is yummy. Yeah, let's see. It has champagne, strawberry puree, manzanada verde liqueur, some kind of liqueur, and lime. Oh, you could have five of them. Excuse me, but it is good. You might sleep in the next day, but
that's why we go to the lounge, the hotel bar.
Yeah, because you can just stagger to your room. Okay. I know this is going to be funny to talk about, but this is kind of like important to talk about in Paris, is the elevator. Because Paris, besides these small, small rooms, they have these elevators where really you can hardly one person get in there and close the door, much less pull your suitcase in. It is horrible. And I've experienced them more than one time, okay? And not here recently when I'm staying at the 5-star, but even in some of them, they're extremely small. Well, this hotel has three ways to get to the other floors. It has the classic antique French elevator with the gate. It's not so big, but it's not a one-person elevator. Then you have a modern, pretty large elevator, what I consider Parisian standards, where two people, three people can go up with their suitcase, etc. And it goes fast. It's not like the old one. And then they have this gorgeous staircase that goes up all the way to the top. And at the bottom floors, a couple of floors up, they have these gorgeous stained glass windows, Art Deco, just beautiful. It's just so refined. You don't see that anymore. Things aren't made like that or built like that. So that's the first floor of the hotel. Now, for my room. And I have to say, this is a double wow. This is like, it's unbelievable. First of all, I didn't totally realize it till I got to the room, because I think the bellman said something. I said, I thought I got a standard room. And he said, oh, no, you were upgraded. I found out because I was a repeat customer at one of the Bavarez hotels, I was upgraded at no extra charge to a 2-room suite. And it actually had 2 bathrooms. I could not believe it. And I must say, truthfully, with everything that I can express, in all of my 45 plus years of solo travel, I have never had a more elegant room, especially for $345 a night. I mean, it should have been $1,000 a night. I was speechless. I couldn't believe it. For starters, it was huge. The ceilings were those tall French ceilings. I had my own sitting room. The sitting room had an antique wood floor that was very well maintained in a large oriental rug. My furniture, red velvet covered French settee and 2 side chairs. And it also had the antique coffee table and end tables. This sitting area had a fireplace with an antique, yes, an antique mantle and a gorgeous French mirror on top of it. I kept thinking, God, somebody had stolen the mirror. I guess they can't walk out of the hotel with the mirror.
Just say, for full disclosure, I did look around where we're sitting right now just to make sure none of the furniture made it home with you.
Yeah, but let me tell you, Then the walls were painted kind of that off-white. I can't describe it. There's a certain painting technique that they do. I think they call it translucent walls or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they have inlaid rose-colored damask silk wall coverings and drapes. And then over the doors, they had this inlaid old paintings of old scenes. It's very French, very European. But it's actually over the door. It's not a painting. It's painted in the wall. And then, this just blew me away, the doors that led to the bedroom and the little foyer, when you closed them, they were mirrored like Versailles. I couldn't believe it. The doors adjoining the rooms that were mirrored. I was just like, I didn't know who to call. I mean, it was unbelievable. So this was what I call true old Paris and very refined. Okay, so now let's go into the bedroom. The bedroom is, again, huge. It could have been literally two bedrooms, but it had a king-size bed, which was kind of set back into this woodwork. The French love to do this. They love to have woodwork around the bed and then go into the cabinets and the shelving. They like built-in things. I don't know exactly what it is. And I'm sure they had drapes over there at one time. But it also had a very large built-in closet. It had an antique French dressing table with this cutest little light at the top. It didn't have all around lights like movie star. It had these two little lights that just, I thought, oh, this is the way they used to put on their face. And then they had these wonderful French doors leading out to, this was another wonderful aspect of this room, a wrought iron balcony, my own private balcony, which had wrought iron dividers. This is real Paris. If you want to experience Paris as it was conceived through the centuries in the refined point when it got to Art Deco and really the beginning of the 20th century, this is beautiful. This is really beautiful. And red carpeting throughout the bedroom. Now, I didn't have wood floors in the bedroom. I had red carpeting. Two bathrooms. Now, granted, this was a suite. One was big, and it had a tub and a shower, full shower in it. Not a freestanding shower, but it had a shower head on it. And then a second smaller one with a toilet, a sink, and an oh-so-French bidet. Is this for real? I mean, is this a dream? I'm never going to leave here.
Well, that's, I was just going to say, I cannot believe you came back home.
No, really. I felt like, well, I could live here and be happy ever after. I'd just throw away all my clothes. I don't care about anything else. I'd just lay here and go down to the bar. I mean, it was fabulous. So really, this was the most elegant home away from home that I've ever stayed in, especially for the price. I mean, the hotel was better than the photos that I had seen. And really, the feeling of the spaces throughout the hotel, they were so refined in traditional Parisian decor. It was fabulous. That's the bottom line, yeah. Fabulous. It makes me want to go back.
You always do this to me. Now I've got to get over there. Yeah, and stay here.
It's going to be a hard decision, too, between the Regina and the Raphael, because they're a little bit different. But if I have to say what I prefer, the Raphael.
Wow.
I do. Gosh, I really do.
We are enthusiasts for the Bavarez family, that's for sure. Well, okay, now you can't hold us back anymore. You've got to take us straight to the top because of the rooftop terrace. And it just sounds amazing. So I know you teased us about the feature of the rooftop hotel when we were talking about Paris before, but we got to know about this terrace.
Okay, well, the rooftop at the Hotel Raphael is the piece de resistance. I mean, this is like a cherry on top. Yeah. But it's called the terrace, and it is touted as one of the most wonderful, elegant rooftops in Paris. And it is. It's unbelievable to begin with. It is really like a secret garden up there. It has got all of this manicured and clipped greenery and topiary looking plants with fruit trees and flowers and roses, and your tables are kind of strategically nestled in all of these things, and wrought iron separates to certain areas. Oh, you talk about dying, go to heaven. This is heavenly up there. So it's beautiful to begin with, day or night, because first of all, you get 360-degree view of Paris. You can hug the Arc de Triomphe because it's only two blocks away. The Eiffel Tower is, I don't know how many blocks away, but it is so close. It's amazing. You can see Sacré-Cœur. You can see everything, really, of Paris there. If you want to get good rooftop shots and up above, it's wonderful. Up there, not only do they have the beautiful garden, but they have a oversized chessboard. So if you want to play chess or you challenge somebody to chess, charming, you could even do that. So it's a place where people come. They have like a champagne bar up there. You can get afternoon tea up there. You can have wine pairing with the tasting menu. So you can relax up there. You can eat up there. And if you want to play chess, you can even play chess. And I'm telling you, in the night, it's spectacular. The Eiffel Tower is so close. And when it flashes, it does its little flash dance at 10 o'clock every night. I try to catch it every night up there. I caught it twice, but it's just beautiful. So one of the things I always look for hotels are not only nice insides, but outsides. For some reason, I just love to sit outside. And Paris is a great place to sit outside. But to sit outside in a place, a garden like this, I would pay $100 just to go up to that garden and have dinner up there, just to be at that spot. So as this part of the amenity of staying at this hotel, the drinks and the food, they're not cheap up there. But right next door is the peninsula. And the peninsula is $1,000 a night, basically, or more. They have a fabulous rooftop garden like this. The Peninsula Hotel was Hotel Metropole, I think it was called. And it was actually built by the Tauber. And the Bavarezes were involved in that, too. But it kind of changed hands. I think it was after World War II. It became part of the French government for some reason in the military. And then when the Nazis occupied Paris, they took it over as one of their headquarters. And so the Bavarese family was not involved in it like these two hotels that they've kept. But they have a fabulous rooftop garden, too. And everything up there costs at least double what you pay at the Hotel Raphael. Same view. Like we say down south, you know you're in high cotton when you're in something like this. That's as high as the cotton will get. I cannot go on and on enough to inspire you. If you want to stay in a real Parisian hotel, this has got it all.
And you can visit the terrace rooftop even if you're not staying.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
Wow. So before we tip everybody from admiration to pure jealousy.
Well, I'm sorry.
Sometimes you get me and you think, I think, why are we still sitting here? We should be over there right now. Let's close out the show. Can you share some of your superpower? Obviously, the Hotel Raphael was a real find, real huge gem. We could also recommend the Hotel Regina. Can you share some of your superpower with everybody and use what you did with the Hotel Raphael to maybe have people get some tips of their own for picking hotels?
Okay. First of all, there still are a few hotels that really are considered gems, but you really have to dig for them. I might have missed this hotel if I wouldn't have dug because, you know, the smaller hotels don't have big advertising budgets. And all these other hotels that are owned by foreigners or conglomerates, hotel chains, etc., they have a lot more money for internet and advertising. And they're pushed to the top. And you can miss these kinds of gems because they only spend a certain amount to do what they need to do in order to get their occupancy up. So you have to really dig. And I guess I've just done this so long, I just dig and dig. I usually settle in on two or three that I have to decide from. So the second thing is look for those smaller boutique hotels because those a lot of times you can find that kind of specialness in a boutique hotel. It's not been corporatized, basically. Okay, then the third, to me, the interior maintenance and staying updated with the interiors and the cleanliness is key to this kind of property, because you can find these properties, but if they're not well maintained, and that's why I do all this YouTube videos and Oyster and everything, because I want to know if they're showing me photographs from a long time ago or they've just touched them up or whatever. Because the worst thing you can do is stay in an old hotel, like I call a Grand Dame, that's past their prime. You just go, oh, this is kind of, ugh. Then the fourth is the quality of the service and the staff. That really can make or break your stay for a solo traveler. You want to see positive comments, especially if there's solo traveler reviews. And TripAdvisor has a lot of those too. And if they say, oh, they took good care of me, because hotels either are very attentive to solo travelers, and they're becoming more and more so now because it's more of a prevalent trend, or they don't pay any attention to them. They think they're not going to spend enough money, or they won't tip right, or they'll never be back, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So that makes a lot of difference. I talk about going into the restaurant or the bar alone. If it takes them 40 minutes to take your order because they're talking to everybody else, and after that happens to you two times, you're going, oh, God. You know? So the quality of service is very important. Now, I'm going to end with just a basic list of luxury hotel selection tips. A lot of it's common sense, but I'm going to go over it again because this is how I think. Besides the price, which is the number one factor in how you select a hotel, because you really shouldn't go over your budget. If you spend too much on a hotel, unless you're independently wealthy and it doesn't make any difference how much you spend, it's going to take away from other aspects of your trip. So you want to get something that you can afford. So I start with how much I want to pay. Then location, location, location. So important. You want to be near the things you want to do and ideally walkable. Because if you want to go out at night, you want to be able to just walk a couple of blocks and you know it's in a safe area. Safety was the next thing. I forgot to say that. And if it's not totally walkable, you want to make sure that there is a metro stop near. And I always do that. If it's in a real good neighborhood, but it's a little bit away from the real center, but it's still quite acceptable to me for location. If there's a metro stop within a block that I can walk at night, that I know I won't be afraid, then it's okay. Second thing is the quality of the rooms. Do you feel like they're going to be comfortable? They've got to be comfortable, and they've got to be large enough. And I've stayed in hotels at $450 a night that are small, that are not very good in terms of size. And for me, that's important to me. You have to have enough space that you can relax. And then, of course, you want the free Wi-Fi and the flat screen TVs in your room. The modern things we're all used to now. The beds, wonderful beds. Bed quality is very important. That's hard to discern off the internet, etc. But if you see reviews, a lot of people say, oh, God, those beds were hard as rocks. Or they say, oh, that pillow top bed was something else. And then a lot of people go into a lot of detail. But look for information about the beds, because I personally like the luxury linens. I like the pillow menus. And then does it have enough closet space and drawers? And you'll see that if you look at the YouTube videos, the in-room safes and mini bars, that's all common sense. Me with the bathrooms, I'm always looking for a tub. Lots of people don't even like tubs anymore. They want showers. And the shower trend is everywhere. So tubs and tubs are more difficult to find. But I'm always looking for that. I love the robes and slippers, so I don't have to bring any of that when I'm traveling. The thick, luxurious towels. And I'm always amazed because I have some really nice towels myself because I've stayed in so many of these hotels. They have these great towels. But the towels in the hotels, most of the towels, they just seem to be so much fuller than mine. I buy the same towels. I don't know what they do in the drying process or something. I love to come back to my hotel after I've had a great day, stomping the pavement, doing all kinds of things, jump in the bathtub, put on the robe and my slippers. Also, I have to say this with the bath products at the Hotel Raphael in Regina, bath salts. You don't find that very much in hotels. And those bath salts, especially when you have pounded the pavement. Now, they don't replace them every night. I didn't find that. But they had them in the room. And one night, I had just walked so much, I thought I wanted to screw my legs off. Mm. They hurt so bad. And those bath salts were, oh, I would have given them a huge tip just for having those in there. And then if the room has a balcony, I love the balconies. And I look for that. So that's another key thing. That's a tip. Do a lot of discernment when you're looking at your room for the things that you really like and you want. Because this is your vacation and you want to feel like you've escaped to Shangri-La. And of course, the quality of the service. See if they have that gold key concierge. When they have that, you know you're staying at a great hotel. I'm telling you. Those concierges do not work for hotels that are not run right and they're not owned by a good company.
It's a good sign that they care. That oh, they yeah. invest in that kind of service.
Oh, yeah. And along with that comes the bell staff and the bar and the restaurant staff. And you will find that out through the reviews because they'll tell you, I had to wait. You know, so in the social scene, what you want to try to do when you're looking to decide about a hotel is, does this hotel have a good vibe? Do you think you're going to be relaxed there? Can you see yourself having a glass of wine or afternoon tea or eating dinner in the eating and dining spaces, and whether they're inside or outside? If you don't think you're going to be comfortable in there, that's another sign. Well, keep looking. Read a lot of reviews. That's another tip. And when I say a lot, go ahead and read them. The way some of this is, if you write good reviews, then maybe you'll get some perks down the line. You know, all these things are going now on with AI and stuff like that. So most of the time, everybody's honest. And then sometimes you get the real honest ones that are bad. And you want to kind of cross-reference all of that with the photos.
I think that's a great tip, just to check a couple different places, make sure.
Oh, yeah, because it'll come out. If you see it more than once, it's there. It's there. In the YouTube videos, I'm going to say that over and over again, because that is what really can convince you that I like this. And if you're not sure about something, just keep looking. That's another sign to keep looking. But if everything lines up and you think this is what you want, trust your gut. Just do it. I'm going to kind of round this out. And I know I've talked a lot about this hotel, but I want to talk a little bit more about it before I say goodbye. I found this by really doing an in-depth search. And when I first read that this was still a regular hangout, like I said, for elites and celebrities that wanted a small, more intimate hotel with a warm, elegant feel, that is what's great for a solo traveler. I really do feel those are the most wonderful hotels. Then it also said it had two movies filmed there, or many movies, but two that I remember are Love in Paris and Place Vendôme. Place Vendôme starred Catherine Deneuve, and I forgot who Love in Paris was, but this was Audrey Hepburn's address of choice in Paris. This is also when I really did the skullduggery in the history. Ava Gardner, Clark Gable, Grace Kelly, Steve McQueen, Michelle Pfeiffer, Walt Disney, sports stars, everybody. They've all stayed there, eaten there, had drinks there, been on that terrace. Let me tell you, their spirit is still hanging around in there. I mean, this place has a really special feel because it was designed for VIP clientele. And for it to still be popular today, I will end by saying, if you want an affordable luxury hotel in Paris, stay at the Hotel Raphael. There's no better. For $345 a night. Now, it'll probably go up because of season. But this hotel, if you want that real, real old Paris that's well-maintained, that still has its power and its warmth, it's in this hotel. So, Catherine, that's the show for today. And listeners, if you've enjoyed the show or if you've benefited from this information that we've shared, please give us a like, that big thumbs up, as they say. Share this episode of Solo Travel Talk with your family and friends if you think they would benefit from it. And last and most importantly, subscribe. Because when you subscribe, that pushes the Solo Travel Talk podcast out to many more potential listeners around the world. So they can find these great solo travel ideas, information, and tips so they can enhance their travel experience. Thanks for listening.
Listeners, I'm developing my own strategy. I know Astrid gave us some of her superpower tips, but I'm just going to say, I'm just going to stay where you stay. I don't need to go find him on my own.
Let me tell you, a lot of people follow me on my website.
Oh, yeah.
Because of where I stay. Yeah. And it comes from experience. And well, and two, probably, I must say, I am one of these discerning people. And I've had the luxury of knowing what real luxury is. But I'm also somebody, I do not like to waste money. And if I waste money, it's because I want to waste money on something that I really want. But in general, certain things, I like a certain standard. But I want it to be real. I don't want it just to be pretty or too contrived. I don't like that. And this Hotel Raphael, I'm telling you, I could live there.
I'm still shocked that you're not.
Well.
Okay, well, we hope that Monsieur Bavarez and Madame Bavarez are hearing this episode.
Well, it's actually Madame Bavarez. Madame. She owns it, but her daughter, Valerie Valek, or she has it sounded like an Eastern European last name. She runs it. Yeah, she runs it. The mom still owns it. And she's in the hotel, I think, daily. I didn't see her. And her portrait is up, etc. But I read that her daughter runs it.
Oh, well, cool. Well, we hope you are listening and enjoying this. And in fact, listeners, we have something for you. Not only is Astrid giving out her resources here on the Solo Travel Talk podcast, but of course, on her website, astridtravel.com, she has a resource page just for you with some of these tools that are going to help you get out there and achieve your solo travel dreams. Just go to astridtravel.com/resources. You'll see her packing list, her budget tool, and I'm guessing eventually there's going to be a hotel list there. It's going to be very exciting.
Yes. So, like I said, thank you for listening and tune back in next week.
See you then. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or solo travel advisors, visit her website, astridtravel.com.